The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It is currently 15 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Sarah Aldeba. Here are today's headlines. Paramedics want more money and respect. Protesters demand affordable housing, and Montreal's beer festival takes off. The government recently released its employment monetary offer for the healthcare system. Nurses now benefit from higher compensation. However, paramedics feel neglected in the decision-making. Delphine Belzil tells us more.
Paramedics are frustrated with new governmental offers. As their field expertise expanded during the pandemic, David Gagnon, vice president of the Quebec Paramedics Union, demands that the government recognizes paramedics' work at a more fair value.
We believe that our salary structure should be completely revised. From now on, what we have been offered is insufficient.
The government released a monetary offer to alleviate the labor shortage in the healthcare system and to support medical employees. However, it seems that the released report lacks justifications. Paul Brunet, the spokesperson of the Patients Protection Council, says the report lacks methodological approval.
We have the impression that these numbers, advancements, and offers have been made softly without considering any available methodological approaches from the government's human resources. So I am a little surprised.
Delphine Belzil, NDG, Concordia News.
A pedestrian died yesterday evening after being hit by a car in Laval. The driver of the SUV, who was traveling in the opposite direction, veered onto the other side of the street to where the pedestrian was walking. The car struck a traffic sign before colliding with the pedestrian. The driver was not injured and is not currently facing charges. Workers' rights groups in Quebec are asking that the minimum wage be raised from $13.50 to $18 an hour. However, as Kendra Sharp tells us, not everyone agrees.
The minimum wage in Quebec was raised to $13.50 an hour in April, but the Quebec Workers Federation says that's not nearly enough. Spokesperson Denis Bolduc says if we want to keep people out of poverty, we need to be paying them $18 an hour. It's workers that keep businesses running. Without them, we can't make our businesses work. When you're asking people to work for you, they need to be paid accordingly. But Martin Vezina from the Quebec Restaurant Association says many business owners are already paying a lot more than minimum wage. If all restaurants are forced to do that, it will end up costing the customers in the end.
That will be costly, and I'm not sure that customers are ready to pay a steak $42.
Many customers may not have a choice but to pay extra for that steak. There's a huge worker shortage in Quebec, and according to Bolduc, that means higher wages only make sense. With the current context, it makes even more sense to take that extra step to pay people more, allowing them to live above the poverty line, and we think that needs to be $18 an hour. The CAQ government has shown no interest to raise the minimum wage near $18. From NDG, this has been Kendra Sharp for Concordia News.
A joint study from two large food organizations has found that there are four times as many food banks as there are grocery stores in Canada. They estimate that this so-called invisible food network provided $33 billion worth of food to Canadians' need in 2020. According to the study, almost 7 million Canadians benefit from these food services, which is the equivalent of the population of Manitoba, Alberta, and Saskatchewan combined. Three housing groups will take the streets of Montreal at 3 p.m. today to pressure the municipal parties into prioritizing social housing in the upcoming election. They are also calling for the implementation of a rental registry. Organizers say that the party's platforms on social housing are not clear enough. Ms. Wandele Pancana has more on this story.
We want them to engage to really ambitious objective of social housing to help truly tenants and to keep longer the affordable housing that are still in Montreal right now. So to fight against eviction, to fight against rent increase.
The two major parties, Projet Montreal and Ensemble Montreal, both have plans for affordable housing, but protest organizers say these don't go far enough. Catherine also said their platforms are not specific enough.
Obviously, also for all of them announced kind of rent registry in different form and ways to fight against sanitation, like to make sanitation better in the apartment. But obviously for us, many of them didn't mention when they're going to put it in place.
In terms of how far the political parties will actually listen to these demands, political analyst Robert Frank is pessimistic.
It's going to be a growing issue over the coming years as the increases in real estate prices turn the screws ever further on housing affordability. It's a fundamental. You need a roof over your head, and the population is growing, so the pressure will only increase.
The protest will take place at Square Victoria from 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. Housing advocates wait to see if the election will result in any real substantive change. Ms. Wanda Lepincana in NDG for Concordia News.
The Liberals have increased their total in Parliament after a narrow win in the Châteauguay-Lacolle riding. This has brought their total to 160. Duncan Elliott sat down with Bloc candidate Patrick O'Hara to discuss his initial response to the announcement of the judicial recount.
The initial response is obviously, I'm not going to lie, you sit back and you wonder, what abnormal, what did they see, what's going on, what factors motivate the recount. Like in any situation, whether it's in business and politics or, when there's a recount or a reevaluation of something, you always sit back and try to figure out where it's going to go. You never know where it's going to go. And if there's a recount, there is motive behind it. If a judicial judge accorded the recount, then you have to follow with precaution and move forward with it.
Did you find that they justified the recount and you were okay with them announcing the recount?
What I did find was, in my initial worries in this whole election and starting from the advanced polling, there's a lack of leadership. There's a lack of communication. There's a lack of training. There was a basic, basic systematic errors throughout the system. He was declared the winner of 286 votes. I had to take for granted that the Elections Canada did their job. Obviously, we woke up on Tuesday, September 21st with over 800 vote lead. And then after some of the advanced polling or the special vote polling was calculated, it went to 606. And then all of a sudden, the Elections Canada declared that there was a typo error and we went to 286. So, I mean, there's obviously something wrong in the way things are being done if an election can be called, can move like that. Obviously I had the chance to be an MP, a deputy for 3 weeks, and then you get yanked out. There's always question for operational issues like that, for sure.
And what was your reaction when it was announced that Brenda Shanahan had won for the Châteauguay-Lacolle area?
Oh, we're devastated. I mean, obviously, my first thoughts go out to the team that were around me. My always and foremost for the 18,000 plus citizens that stood in lineups.
That was Duncan Elliott speaking with Patrick O'Hara. Concordia neuroscientist Nadia Chaudhry has died at the age of 43 after losing her battle with ovarian cancer. She was diagnosed in June 2020 and became well known on Twitter as she documented her emotional experience with the disease. The Nadia Chaudhry Wingspan Fund, which has raised over $600,000, was started in her honor to support underrepresented neuroscience students at Concordia. Pivot, a new online media, is making its entry in Quebec. It is the result of a merger between Francophone side of Ricochet Media and Majeur, with the collaboration of Press Progress. Marie-Catherine Goudreau is here in the studio with us. So Marie-Catherine, why did these media decide to merge?
Well, it started this summer when the new site Majeur approached Ricochet. At the same moment, Ricochet's French side was thinking of doing a rebranding. They thought it was a good idea to merge because Majeur was focusing more on short news and Ricochet on longer news. Today is actually the official launch of Pivot online website.
How will Pivot be different from other media?
Pivot intends to give an important place to the environment and to solution journalists. They also want to encourage the participation of the readers in the media by proposing subjects. Here is Gabrielle Brassard-Lecourt, founder of Ricochet and president of the board directors at Pivot.
We have kind of a firm editorial line, I would say, which is quite progressive. We don't see that in a lot of other media.
Was it a good idea for them to merge?
Yes. According to Michael Nguyen, president of the Quebec Professional Journalists Federation, it is better for two media to merge if they are in difficulties than to disappear.
In the context where media have difficulty surviving with revenues from advertising plummeting down, sometimes, unfortunately, it is essential for media to merge to continue informing the public.
Despite the fact that they merge, the financial aspect is still the principal concern. Their funding will come from voluntary subscription and donation.
Thank you, Marie-Catherine. Montrealers are encouraged to come out to the 27th edition of the Beer Festival. It will be the first fall edition that will combine fresh beers and fresh air. Our reporter, Dennis Shmulevich, is at the Windsor Station in downtown. Dennis, how is it looking there?
Hey, Sarah. Yeah, you're really missing out. The sky is blue, the air is warm but fresh, and the sun's peeking out from behind the skyscrapers. Honestly, this special fall edition of the Beer Festival, like, is completely outdoors and it couldn't have been on a better day. So usually it's in the summer, but last year it was canceled. So Jeanine Marois, the founder and the president of the event, can't wait for visitors to arrive today at 5 p.m. Here she is.
Excited, you know. All my team is like, you know, frenetic, you know. Everybody is like, my God, we finally are able to do it, you know. And that's a great feeling, you know. When you're used to organize these things, this will be the 27th edition. So think about it. For us, missing an edition is like losing a part of our life, you know.
And what can visitors expect at the festival?
So there's going to be 4 whole days of festival, over 40 local breweries and 150 different beers. They've got some beers, I think, from Poland and Norway, and they even squeeze in like a few ciders. And visitors will have 3-hour blocks to enjoy themselves. There's going to be a DJ playing, plenty of picnic tables to bask in the sun. People will be able to sit like in groups of 4, but they can also walk around. There's going to be plenty of beer experts and local brewers who kind of will be mingling around and answering questions. So it seems like spirits are pretty high here.
Well, I must say that this is going to be a wonderful week. Look at the weather. I mean, we are in Montreal. The weather is great. It's time to, you know, have a good time together before getting inside for the cold. And we have an amazing list of beer. So the people that love beer or want to discover beer, really.
And how hard was it to organize this event? And what can we expect next year?
All right. So I talked with the logistics team, and they've been like really hard at work to make this event possible for everyone to enjoy. I talked with Felix Mihon while I caught running around the tent.
Yesterday was a very big day. It was the first day. It was 14 hours, something like that, so just pretty much non-stop-ish. A lot of effort from everyone. Everybody's excited today for the start, and today we're just closing in everything that we have to do.
So there's also potentially great news for next year. They'll be organizing 2 beer festivals from now on. So one in the summer, the usual, and another one in the fall, like the one that's happening today. And hopefully that'll make up for the lost year. All right, I'm sorry, Sarah, but I know I can't drink on the job, but I'm going to go smell 150 different beers. See ya.
Sounds good. Thank you, Dennis. That was Dennis Shmulevich reporting from the beer festival at the Windsor Station in downtown. In sports this week, the Los Angeles Dodgers beat the Cardinals in a thrilling 3-1 win. The National Women's Soccer League players stood together in solidarity on the field last night in response to the sexual assault scandal. Also, the Toronto Argonauts beat the Ottawa Red Blacks in a 35-16 win, bringing Toronto home 4-0 this CFL season. Melina Levesque has those stories.
I'll get to those stories in a second, but first, there's some breaking news. The Montreal Canadiens are currently holding a press conference as we speak. Montreal Canadiens' Carey Price will be taking time away from the team indefinitely after voluntarily entering the NHL Player Assistance Program, a jointly funded group that assists players and their families with mental health, substance abuse, and other personal matters.
Reyes fires, swing and a drive, deep left field, this is way back, walk him off!
The Los Angeles Dodgers walked away with an exciting 3-1 win against the St. Louis Cardinals last night. The Los Angeles offense powered through when Chris Taylor hit a walk-off two-run homer to left center in the ninth inning, bringing the Dodgers to a thrilling victory. The Dodgers will meet the San Francisco Giants in the playoffs for the first time tomorrow night.
Right now, let's just look in. You can see players from both teams arm in arm, lanes, and they're all moving to the center circle together right now.
The National Women's Soccer League players met at the center of the field in the sixth minute of their first game since allegations of sexual misconduct shook the league to its core. Linking arms, players stood together in a circle of silence and solidarity. Canadian football champions Sarah Pavan and Melissa Humana Paredes opened the FIVB Beach Volleyball World Tour Finals in Sardinia with two consecutive victories. The power duo will play Switzerland's Anouk Vergier-Despré and Joanna Heidrich on Friday. The Toronto Argonauts won their second straight game last night against the Ottawa Redblacks. The number one team in the East Division took home 27 points in the third quarter and scored in all three phases, leading to a striking 35-16 win. The Argos scored a special team touchdown early into the game when Dion Pellerin blocking led to a scoop and score with Dijon Brissette. Toronto is now 4-0 at home this CFL season. Montreal's Alouettes are set to go against the Ottawa Redblacks on October 11th. The Thanksgiving Day game will be marked by a ceremony to honor Mark Levy's induction into the Canadian Hall of Fame.
Thank you, Melina. One of our very own boroughs is among the coolest 40 cities in the world, according to Time Out, a British media company. Villeray was ranked 18th for its diverse food and drink scene, its streets and parks. Jerry Park, in particular, was pointed out for its summer festivals. In arts and entertainment news today, Korean TV show Squid Game makes headlines for leaking a woman's phone number. KISS's Paul Stanley announces new farewell tour plans, and Daniel Craig reprises his iconic role as James Bond. Lola Calder is in the studio to tell us more.
James Bond. License to kill. Love with Madeline.
Daniel Craig, who has played Bond in the last four films, took his fifth and final debut this week as the notorious English spy. Dubai Bond Hello Walk of Fame was the headline this morning as Craig received his first star in Hollywood's Walk of Fame after the film racked up $119 million with its international debut. But despite this being the first week the film hits the big screen, speculation as to who will be the next Bond has already begun, with some hinting it could be Tom Hardy or Idris Elba, and others suggesting it may be time for a female Bond. Kate Trinada's long-awaited return to Montreal for a special two-night off-picnic event, which was meant to start tonight, has been cancelled due to COVID regulations, leaving fans disappointed as it's postponed to the 19th of May of next year. In other music news, KISS's frontman Paul Stanley has revealed new plans for the beginning of KISS's farewell tour. The tour, which began in August and will end beginning of 2023 in the band's birthplace, New York, is set to include a show with former band members. If you recognize that sound, then you've probably seen Netflix's latest hit, Squid Game. The Korean TV show makes headlines today after leaking a South Korean woman's phone number in one of the episodes, leading to her receiving over 4,000 unknown calls. Netflix is now in the process of editing out that number.
I've got you deep in the heart of me.
That was Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga's reprisal of Cole Porter's I've Got You Under My Skin from their latest collaborative album, Love for Sale. This is their second and final album together, an album which critics have highlights the thrill of jazz music. This is Bennett's final gift to the world as he retires from music following its release. And today marks the opening of Oasis's new immersive exhibit in Montreal, which can be found in Le Galerie du Palais.
Thanks, Lola. Today's cool and sunny weather will remain relatively stable over the next few days, with highs in the low 20s and lows in the teens. However, make sure to do all your outdoor activities on Saturday because it is expected to rain on Sunday. That's your news for this morning. Thank you for listening. I'm Sarah for Concordia News.